Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Liz.
And we are Twin Lights Coaching. Welcome to our ADHD Sanity Break. Today, we're going to be talking about self-advocacy.
Learning to self-advocate is a key step to becoming an adult and it is an important life skill. It means looking out for yourself. It means speaking up for yourself and telling people what you need. We're not born with these skills, but we all need to learn them. Self-advocacy requires a specific skill set. Like other skills, these can be taught, learned, and used successfully.
And you know, Liz, learning to understand your own needs is really critical. Mm-hmm. To be able to act to ensure that those needs are met, it gives you more of a sense of control over your own circumstances and therefore your own life. When you advocate for yourself, you build a stronger sense of your competence. And you automatically make yourself more resilient in tough, demanding situations. Self-advocacy, by definition, builds self-sufficiency. So Liz and I have come up with the five steps to self-advocating.
The first one is believe in yourself. And it's so important to believe in yourself to be a self-advocate. And many of us have difficulty believing we're worthwhile, especially people with ADHD. You are a unique and valuable person. You are worth the effort it takes to advocate for yourself.
That being said, Liz, you know, many people need to work on raising their self-esteem in order to really believe in themselves and to become their own best advocate. That's okay. You can do that. Each of you listening can do it. You need to assess, appreciate, support, and improve the way you feel about yourself. So how do you do that?
Ask yourself how much self-esteem you have right now. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. And if you're struggling with this, and a lot of us do struggle with coming up with, you know, what are good things about us, ask a close friend or a relative or a peer, a colleague to tell you the good things about you. And then allow yourself to appreciate and acknowledge yourself for what you do well.
Say it out loud. Don't just think it. Come up with those things and say them out loud so it really sinks in. And then repeat it over and over and over again. In the world of self-help, there's a lot of people who support affirmations. Just saying something. But there's a difference between saying something and making it become real. A very strong leader in this population is a man by the name of Tony Robbins. And he has an idea that he calls the incantation. And the difference between an affirmation where you just say something over and over and over again, hoping that it will become real, is that an incantation aligns your physiology and your psychology. When do you learn best? You learn best when you're stressed. You will not forget those mistakes. When you get called to the front of the classroom and you need to complete the math equation, that math equation, if you don't do it right, you will not forget A, how it felt, and B, the right solution when you get taught. Well, it's the same thing when you align your psychology and your physiology by screaming those, by pumping yourself up, by getting that adrenaline flowing, getting those muscles moving, breathing deeply. Your physiology helps to lock in that emotion, that thought, in what they call an incantation. So by doing the incantations, you become truly aware of your strengths. And therefore, you support your own worthiness. You improve your self-esteem. And therefore, you advocate for yourself. You deserve to take the best care of you. So the second on our list of five steps is to set goals.
So as coaches, Mark and I, as you know, are all about goal setting. Individuals who set SMART goals, and we've talked about this before in other podcasts, SMART goals are goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. And individuals who set SMART goals are better with organizing their time and reaching their full potential. So one way to do this is to make a list and let your list just free flow it. It could be very long. That's okay. Go back and when you're done, review the list and look at which one of the things on the list you could achieve or try to achieve by advocating or speaking out for yourself. Narrow your list down and clarify for yourself exactly what you want or what needs to change. Mark, didn't you tell me that you have a great self-advocacy story, actually, when you were a senior in college going into your first year of college?
I sure do, and it was a tough lesson. I had gotten into all the colleges that I had desired and had my first choice on that list and had been accepted and had accepted the position. I had a really bad case of senioritis, and I didn't do well in one class, and that caused my number one choice to actually excuse me from their ranks. I didn't have a college to go to. My parents pushed me a little bit, gave me some suggestions, but the fact is that I needed to go and make phone calls, first to the college of my choice, and to find out what I needed to do to see if I could get back in the next year. The second was to find another college out of all the ones that I had already rejected and walked away from. And I found that college and then figured out exactly what I needed to do within their curriculum to allow me to have the best chance of being able to go back to the school that was my number one choice. Well, the fact is that I was successful in that. Yes, I set a goal, but I not only set the goal, I advocated by finding out what I needed to do and then taking that and making sure that I could do that at the university that I was given my first second shot at. And therefore, I had the chance to go and finally graduate from the institution that was my number one choice.
Sorry to interrupt you. I absolutely love that story. That story can work for anybody because that's humbling. I mean, you advocated for yourself. You also had to be humble in that moment because you had to call a school that you had already rejected to have to say that you wanted to go there and then call the school that rejected you that you originally had gotten into. I mean, self-advocacy, there's a lot of things that fall under it. And while it involves courage, it often can involve humility.
Clearly. And sometimes, and we talk about this a lot, being vulnerable is an incredible strength. To lead from a position of vulnerability sounds like a weakness, but it's actually an incredibly strong position to lead from.
Absolutely. So the third one is have a plan. And again, Mark just gave a very clear example of what he did. He created a plan on how to eventually get back to the school that he really wanted to go to. So what did he do? He planned a strategy. Plan a strategy that you feel will work to get you what you need and want for yourself. And then think of several ways to address the problem. While you need to develop your own style, it could actually be really helpful to learn from other people's styles and other people's ways of self-advocating to give you a better understanding of what might work for you.
You know, you can ask your friends, ask your family for suggestions, ask them for support, get feedback for your ideas.
I just read an article the other day. It was about Sheryl Sandberg, who's the COO of Facebook. She does speaking events all the time, and I don't know where she spoke or what specifically she spoke about, but after she came off of speaking, the person who wrote the article said she was amazing. She's an incredible speaker and so inspirational, and she went up to him. She knew him, and she said, "How did I do?" And he said, "You were amazing. It was perfect." And she sort of paused and looked at him and said, "I'm going to give you some time to think about that. I want you to come back to me with some suggestions on what I could do to improve that speech." She said, "Because that's how I grow." So even somebody who does this all the time still knows that, A, it's good to lead from a place of vulnerability to say, "No, you might think that was amazing. Now really step back and think, how could I improve that?"
You know, constructive criticism is our greatest friend. And those people who will give you criticism in order to allow you to grow should be welcome with open arms.
Absolutely.
It's so difficult to hear, you know, where your foibles are, but accepting them and growing with them allows you to achieve heights that you would otherwise never even think of. So choose to take action using some of the feedback you get. Choosing one of those points or several of those points that you feel give you the best chance to be successful. The next of our five steps is number four, to express yourself clearly. So we've come up with a couple of general guidelines. The first is choose your timing. You don't want to approach the person who's in the middle of a meeting or in the hallway, potentially in the elevator, and ask them. But you could go ahead and ask them when a time that you could sit or speak with them would be available. Seizing the opportunity is important, but choosing the proper timing is critical.
And then think through what you want or need in advance. So by doing that, it's going back to the list. You know, what is a list of things that you need to do to advocate for yourself? So it's really just allowing yourself, I'm not necessarily going to say the brain break, more of a free flow to think through what it is that you really want.
And with that, to then decide. It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is forged. You have a list. Decide what is really important on that list. And don't muddy it with other things that really won't help you move forward or gain in your position, in your understanding, in your ability to exceed expectations, to excel.
And then ask clearly and directly for what you want or need. I always say less is more. Be succinct. There's no need to go on and to ramble on and on. And the reason that you won't end up doing that is because you're going to be preparing yourself. You're going to have thought through everything. You're going to decide exactly what you need. So you're ready to get in there, whoever it is you're talking to, again, whether it be a teacher, a coach, a peer, a coworker, a boss, you will be ready. And when you're ready, just make sure that you're clear and you directly ask for what you want or need.
So true. And stay calm. Stay in control. Go back if you need and listen to our podcast on calm. And experience the power of being calm, of being in control. We won't go through today the four points, but there are four points that allow you to truly become calm and to remain in calm.
And be respectful. While you are now feeling more confident and you are advocating for yourself, it is important that you respect the person that you're asking for what you want or need. Respect their response. Respect their time. And respect how you approach them.
But also be firm. Understand that you're important. And when you're asking for something for yourself, there are several reasons for why you're asking. It's not only because you're asking for something for you, but you're asking for something so that you show up better. You show up better as an employee. You show up better as a spouse. You show up better as a student, a friend, a coworker. When you become better not only for you, but for everyone. So be firm, but do be respectful. When you are asking for what you need and want for yourself, again, it's important to be brief. Believe that you deserve what you're asking for. Then calmly and respectfully state what it is that you want and need, and by when you need it. Assuming that they will just understand when you need it and not asking for it specifically in a timeline is a mistake that many people make.
We know what they say about assuming.
That's correct. and then sit back and listen. Listen to the response. Actively listen. Pay attention. Don't listen simply to have a comeback, but listen to understand what they're telling you.
And if the other person tries to tell you reasons why you can't achieve or get what it is you want for yourself, don't modify your request in order to minimize the possibility of it being turned down. People do this all the time. In fact, people do this before they even ask because they get nervous. Well, shoot, maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe I should go in there asking for a little bit less, or maybe I'm being too demanding. No, go back to what we've been saying is you need to believe that you deserve what you're asking for.
And repeat it again if that's what's needed. Repeat again what it is that you want until either they give it to you, they help you get it, or they refer you to someone else who can make it happen. Now, Liz and I don't mean to sit back and just keep peppering the same person over and over before you get up from the table. You can respectfully ask and repeat again, or ask who it is that you need to speak to so that you have the decision maker in front of you. You know, Liz, I think there was a story that would fit in here about your time in, I believe it was your first job in New York City.
It was actually my third job now that I think about it. I was working for an advertising agency, and I was a production assistant. And while you're, when you're a production assistant, you have a salary, plus you get overtime, which is actually kind of nice because your salary is not very high. It's a starting position. I found out, I can't remember, it was a little year, around a year, that I was getting a promotion. I was going to be an assistant producer, which was a really big deal. So I was told that I was being promoted, and I was told the amount of money I was going to be making, which was more than I was making as a production assistant. So I was so excited about it. I get home that night. I tell my husband. I tell him what I'm going to be making. And he sort of pauses and looks at me and says, well, you do realize that you're not going to be getting overtime anymore. And without the overtime, you're actually going to be making less, not more. And I thought, oh, my God, I was so excited to get the promotion that I didn't even spend time thinking about the fact that the overtime was not going to be included in on that. So I said, oh, no, what do I do? Because I was so thankful when I got it. I left the office, you know, so happy, with a big smile on my face. So we sort of brainstormed that night about what I could do to get myself prepared. And honestly, preparation is everything, because that next morning I made sure I had to get up early and get in there. I went right to the senior executive who I needed to ask or talk to. And by being prepared, I was able to take a breath, knock on the door, and ask if I could speak to him for a minute and explain what I'd figured out last night, the night before, which was that I was actually, with this raise, this promotion, I was actually going to be making less because I wasn't getting the overtime. And he listened, and he said, are you sure? Have you done the math? And I said, yeah, I did the math. And he said, okay, well, give me till the end of the day. He said, I'll see what I can do. So I walked out of there feeling like, well, I didn't have an answer. I did get him to say that when he would get back to me, which was the end of the day. And by the end of the day, he called me back into his office and told me that they were giving me more money. So it was a real win all around, because it's really pretty terrifying to have to go in and talk to an executive when you're still an assistant and demand more money. But I did it in a way that I chose the timing first thing in the morning when the day most people weren't in yet. I clearly knew what I wanted to ask for. I stayed calm because I was prepared and I was respectful, but yet I didn't give up. I was firm, and all those things worked. And so I look back on that story as one of my really fond memories of learning how to self-advocate.
That's fantastic. And again, speaking up builds self-confidence, and it gets results, and you got the results, didn't you?
I did, and it did build confidence.
Many of us lack the confidence, and more importantly, the trust in our own voice to speak up. This can lead to social anxiety, and therefore a tendency to go along with the crowd. But when you start speaking up for yourself, you're less likely to have the fear of that social impact, of people judging you negatively.
And if this is hard for you to do, ask someone you trust to help you talk it through or role play it with different scenarios. Role playing is something we do with our clients. It's something I've done with my kids. It's something that my husband did with me that night when we were bouncing off ideas of what to say to my boss. It actually prepares you for all different types of scenarios. And while advocating for yourself can be scary, in the end, you're going to gain the respect of others, along with confidence for yourself, self-awareness, and directness. So number five, this leads to number five, which is don't give up. Be persistent.
You know, dedicate yourself to getting whatever it is you need for yourself and keep at it. Over one of the arches into the barracks of the college I went to, it says, you may be whatever you resolve to be. It's not what you'd like to be. It's not what you hope to be. It's not what you want to be. To resolve means to decide and to make that decision something that you will do, that you will commit to. So commit yourself to getting what you need in life. Don't take no for an answer. Have you ever been to a Kentucky Fried Chicken? Well, if you have, you've experienced persistence. Because persistence is the KFC story. Colonel Harlan Sanders was 65 when he embarked on selling what he called and trademarked his finger-licking good chicken recipe. He failed. He was rejected. He was rejected over and over and over. As a matter of fact, he was rejected with 1,009 no's before he ever heard his first yes. After growing his business, in spite of those 1,009 no's and the yeses that came, finally, in 1964, with 600 franchises under his belt, he sold his company for $2 million, the equivalent today of $15.9 million. Not too bad for 1,009 no's. We're not interested in your recipe. Persist until you get what you want, what you need for yourself. Resolve to be who you desire to be. Don't wish, don't hope. Remember, you may be whoever you resolve to be. You have the ability to impact your own circumstances, your own life.
Absolutely. So now let's just review the five steps for you really quickly. Believe in yourself. Set goals, have a plan, express yourself clearly, and don't give up. Self-advocacy is having the confidence to champion for yourself in order for you to be successful in school, work, and in life.
It's the courage to simply express yourself in a calm, constructive manner to get from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow. Believe in yourself. Know your worth, stand up for it, and as Stonewall Jackson said, be what you resolve to be.
Thanks for joining us today. We welcome you to our growing community. We are here to support each of you, and we absolutely would we love to hear from you. So please send us your ideas for future podcasts, your questions or concerns, and any ADHD issues you're facing. Send this to us at twinlightscoaching.com. Have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.